set you free. First it'll freak you out. Lately I've been finding it in words long written down. What we need now is all those who will come alive, who know the whole world will change in the blink of an eye.
everybody. This is Sally Elcordi, and welcome to Vaccine Free America. I am so thrilled to be on Republic Broadcasting Network, and I have Ingrid Castle to thank for that. She's the lady who hosts the program that follows mine called Immunize Wisely. Anyway, that song was written by recording artist Daz Nez. And I think it's absolutely on the money. Everything he does is wonderful, but that's my particular favorite. Anyway, regarding vaccine-free America, well, I live in New York City. You can find me on Facebook.com/vaccinefreeNYC. I'm running for mayor for a vaccine-free NYC. And you can find me on Twitter. You used to be able to find me at the same name, but I got locked out. And so now I'm back as Outlaw Vaccines at OW Vaccines. So all I can say is the more they try to shut us up, and by God, aren't they just doing everything in their power to achieve that? Where should we start with censorship? Well, I tell you what, let's inform the not the Republic Broadcasting Network audience necessarily, but members of their families, possibly, certainly members of my family, about the ingredients in vaccines, because everything that is wrong with vaccines starts with the components. So you can see the components in each and every vaccine at tinyurl.com/vaccine-contents. And let me just give you what the CDC says are the common components, and that would be aluminum, antibiotics, formaldehyde, mercury, and monosodium glutamate, or MSG. So right there, I mean, isn't that a startling concoction? But it gets even more peculiar. Antifreeze, okay? Antifreeze is in vaccines. So is E. coli. That's in one of the more recent meningitis vaccines. There are parts of so many different animals, including cocker spaniel, insects. They use crabs in the development of vaccines. What else? Oh, Lord, there are so many. Well, bovine would be cow, porcine, pig. So there are a lot of different other species in vaccines, but there's also our species in vaccines, and that would be through aborted baby fetal tissue. So that is, as Dr. Carley would say, cannibalism and a spiritual assault. Well, I agree in both regards with her there. And what are we doing? You know, what in God's creation are we doing? This heinous concoction leads to every disease in internal medicine, and it's no surprise that it does. You can't infuse that many poisons into a body. Oh, did I forget glyphosate? Oops. What else? Oh, yeah. Oh, this is the most unbelievable one, and it was brought to my attention by Nurse Janice Hicks. Potassium chloride. Potassium chloride is what they inject you with if you're a death row inmate who is being executed. Okay? That is what's in a lethal injection. Potassium chloride to stop the heart. Now, the Children's Health Defense says that children are dying from cardiac arrest. Doesn't it just make sense that if potassium chloride is in 8 vaccines, and please do check tinyurl.com/vaccine-contents to verify what I'm saying, if it's in 8 vaccines and it stops the heart, wouldn't that just be what is causing children through the age of 18 when the vaccine schedule, as the vaccine schedule extends currently in order to attend school? Wouldn't that be the cause of it? You know, I'll say probably because, but if I were to point to one thing, that is causing it. I would have to say something that's put in lethal injections to stop the heart. And Dr. Crawley backs me up on that, saying in surgery, they use potassium chloride to stop the heart, and then they have to jumpstart it again. Well, when your child is injected with vaccines, nobody's got heart jump starters waiting next to the injection table, do they? So this is all very serious. I'm assuming you are taking this seriously because it is serious. And we are giving 33 doses to our infants. I have a long thing to tell you about in regard to what just transpired yesterday, but there's so much to tell you. Oh, Lord. Well, let's start with pregnancy. They're giving 4 doses to pregnant women. And just with the flu shot, when they were giving that, Eileen Daneman of the National Council of Organized Women said that there was a 2,450% increase in fetal death as a result of one dose of vaccines for the flu. Now they have added the diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis. So that's 4 doses that they want to give pregnant women. And I was listening to Greg Wyatt interview a nurse who said that, you know, these statistics are very difficult to come by. So we get them where we can. And this nurse was saying that in order to stay in her educational program, she was a student, she and 3 other nurses had to get injected with all 4 recommended doses recommended by the Centers for Disease Control. And 3 of the 4 miscarried. 3 of the 4 nurses who got the 4 doses miscarried. That would be 75%. Now, Dr. Vera Scheibner is saying conservatively 10 to 12% of our infants are dying. And the coroners don't report it as vaccine related. There is nothing on their form that they can fill in to say that it's vaccine related. And a friend of mine now is suggesting that all children, this is my friend Pam, who's a naturopath nurse. She writes really wonderful legislation that everyone ignores. But one of her bills actually passed the assembly in Maine. And of course, the senators who were then about to vote on it were descended on by people with a vested interest and stopped the bill. So everywhere you turn, people with a vested interest are altering the outcomes of what is good legislation. My first bill was all vaccines are banned. And that was just knowing the reality of what they were doing to our children. It's before I knew the ingredients, the diseases that were created, the intent to harm, cover-ups. I knew nothing but the reality of what was happening to children. And I have 10 members of my family who are compromised or dead from vaccination. If anyone at any point had told the truth about why these tragic outcomes were unfolding, believe me, my own kids would never have been vaccinated, nor would my pet. You know, so they're doing all kinds of crazy things there, too, because I had a little chihuahua and he died from vaccination. And I went to get another dog because even though my head was good after a while, I thought, OK, I have grieved this lovely little dog and I will get another dog because, you know, I would like another dog. So I went to a pet shop, and quite frankly, first I went to a shelter, and they wanted $450 for medical procedures. Well, that included vaccination, and I don't know if it was $450 worth of vaccines. I don't even know. I just know it was. So I said, does that include vaccination? Said, yes. And I said, well, I'm not going to adopt another little chihuahua to see him. And he was 14. He was a deer, but I wasn't going to adopt him and have them kill him with these vaccines. Take home a dog, and another one bites the dust. So Anyway, the dog, so I left the shelter. I went to a shop and I just said, give me any dog. You know, I just was like, my heart is breaking. I need a dog. So I got a Maltese and I said, how old is he? He said, 8 weeks. I said, well, you haven't given him any vaccines yet, have you? Yes, I've already given 5. Oh, I said, 5 shots? There's only 1 required. Why? Oh, why did you give this little tiny dog 5 shots? And they said, well, before I give you the answer to that, let me first say, I said, did you give that Great Dane puppy the same size shots you gave this tiny Maltese? The answer was yes. So I said, why did you do that? There's only 1 required and he's too young. What in the world? And he said, because they will shut my shop down unless I give all recommended shots. So there you go. We're losing our infants at a rate of 10 to 12% per Dr. Vera Scheibner, the world's authority on sudden infant death syndrome, shaken baby syndrome, sudden unexplained death syndrome. It's all vaccine related. So if you know someone doing hard time in jail, possibly for their entire lives in maximum security for shaking a baby, let me tell you, they have debunked the fact that you can shake a baby to death. And there is no case of a shaken baby and a parent who's incarcerated for life of an unvaccinated child. That per Christina England. And you really should look at her website. If you know anybody who's been accused of shaken baby syndrome, her website is called, oh, isn't that cute? Someone just sent me a picture of their dog. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. If you know anybody who's been accused of shaken baby syndrome, most assuredly, check out Parents and Carers Against Injustice. .weebly.com. Parents and Carers Against Injustice. .weebly.com. And that'll give you all the information that you'll need to know to prove that, you know, that you did not shake your baby. And of course, the neck has to be injured. They're coming up with new things to accuse parents of. But you really do have to read Vaccination Policy and the UK Government, The Untold Truth. I've never like read a book and ground my teeth while I was reading it, but Lord above, indeed I did with that one, Vaccination Policy and the UK Government, The Untold Truth. So the first half is written by Christina England, and it's all about how they take these poor injured children or dead and blame the parents. Well, the only thing the parents are guilty of is taking their child to a pediatrician, okay? And the second half is really unbelievably explosive in its own right, because it proves that they have prevented safety studies, that the vaccines are actually causing the diseases they claim to prevent, etc. It's a very valuable book. Now, Christina has just written another book on the HPV Gardasil vaccine, or Cervarix. I understand it's over 700 pages, and it's called Shattered Dreams. And that's certainly that vaccine. I'm telling you, it's hard to say which is the worst and most injurious, but having interviewed 1,000 parents of vaccine-injured or dead children, allow me to inform you that this HPV vaccine is new ailments have been created as a result of this vaccine, and peculiar ailments, things I've never heard of, and I've heard a lot at this point, but and of course deadly, and of course promoting infertility. Now polysorbate 80, that's another component in vaccines, and I would like to take a second to say, formerly on the inserts, 13.1 on the inserts of vaccination, it used to state that the vaccine had not been tested for cancer, okay, cancer causing, or for mutations, or for impairment of fertility. So if they're not testing vaccines for to cause cancer or mutations or impairment of fertility, look at them as serious problems. And certainly polysorbate 80 does both. It is cancer causing and it has very likely to cause infertility. Now, why are they putting that in the very first shot they give to children when they're born in New York State? Why are they doing that? The minute you're born in a hospital, I don't know if you have a home birth, if a doula would also give you that. I don't have the answer to that, but I do know that in any hospital, you absolutely have to take the vitamin K shot, which is a synthetic vitamin, and the second component in it is polysorbate 80. Okay, so all I can say is if you can figure out anything positive that's real, you know, because I just listened to the United Nations. They had a gathering in New York yesterday of the World Health Organization, UNICEF, some minister of Japan, which is very concerning to me. Japan, you are three times as likely to live as an infant as you are in America as an infant in Japan, because I believe they do not inoculate until the age of two. So you are three times as likely to survive as an infant in Japan as you are in America. Well, don't they just have some guy from Japan and UNICEF and the World Health Organization and the Bill Gates Foundation, and they're all saying that vaccines are safe and effective. So, you know, the crime starts with offering a child poison. And the lie ends here. tinyurl.com/vaccinecontents. All right. I just wanted to get all that off my chest. So much has been going on recently. I want to get back to censorship. Censorship. Well, I've been locked out of Facebook 20 times. I do believe I hold the record. If you know anybody else who has as near as many as 20, I'd be interested to know. I'd like to shake their hand. At this point, it's a point of pride. It's a point of pride. I never thought I'd be bragging about this. But everybody at this point, probably, if you have something of importance to say, has been censored. And certainly if you're talking about vaccines, you have. Because Adam Schiff, who wrote HRES 327, if you have a pen, write this down. tinyurl.com/dismantle 327. Well, why is this an important document? It's an important document because all the stock lies that we have been fed for maybe going on 100 years, you know, about vaccines are all on this one document. And they thank the culprits, and the ones I just mentioned who are at this meeting today. Did I forget the CDC? How could I? And the FDA, who doesn't do any testing, and, you know, admits it freely. The law called for them to do testing every 2 years once the liability was lifted from the pharmaceutical companies and healthcare workers for their product. Okay? You can't sue anybody if your child is hurt. Now, everybody is against this. This is a law passed by Congress and upheld by the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court stating vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. Well, that would be like the perfect reason to ban them, right? They're unavoidably unsafe. Holy moly, ban them immediately. No. Therefore, because they're unavoidably unsafe, we're going to uphold the fact that they have no liability for their product. Okay, yeah, I'm good with that. So as I was saying, when I first wrote my bill, All Vaccines Are Banned, right, in 2009, I thought, I can't be the first person to think of this. I just can't. Well, I found an article that said in 1958-59 session of Congress, there was a bill to ban vaccines. And I'm like, oh my God. Well, then I look at kind of like the timeline. What came out in 1957? Eleanor McBean's The Poison Needle. Well, that's fine, except that it was a bestseller. It was a bestseller. And it was all about vaccines and the damage and the harm that they cause. So after this was a bestseller and people were apprised of the bona fide dangers to themselves and their children, this bill was proposed. And I understand it was killed before it got to the floor because the American Academy of Pediatrics descended on Congress to kill the bill. So, yeah, this is not extreme to say we want to go vaccine-free America, free our children from all this toxic, poisonous, unspeakable. I mean, so that's where I'm at. I'm trying. Other people want choice, and a woman who's going to come on later in this program is going to tell you how the removal of choice in New York State has devastated her and her son's life and the rest of the family too. Amazing how much children, oh, by the way, vaccines do cause autism. That's something at the meeting at the United Nations. They're big, the big conversation there amongst all these people who kept referring to themselves as authoritative. Yes, they're authoritative. By whose standards, right? Yeah, I lost track. I do this every now and again. Please forgive me. But so, yeah, all these people sitting around and saying that we have to reestablish trust. Well, this is my advice to the United Nations, UNICEF, the Bill Gates Foundation, the CDC, the FDA, the health minister of Japan or whomever he may have been, to all these people. If you want to gain people's trust, you have to start by telling them the truth. That's it. That's my advice to you. You're trying to figure out how to gain people's trust. Tell them the truth. End of story. I've just resolved your problem for you. You're wondering how to do it. That's how to do it. So now in New York State, they removed exemptions from vaccines, and it has just caused such heartache because there are certain children, one of mine is among them, who one more vaccine is going to kill that kid. Just one more. They're giving 72 doses through the age of 18. That's the CDC schedule. 72 doses. When I was a kid, if I had three, that was a lot. And had anyone known what was in them, certainly no one would have given me one. Oh, great. Okay. Now, I don't know how to pick up this phone number. Would somebody on the other end of this show like to, how do I do this? Can you talk to me and tell me how to pick it up? Ken? Hi. Well, if she's a caller, could you put her on the air? She's calling on Skype? Okay.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less media outlets, even with a growing audience.
On the phone, that's what we were expecting because she doesn't have Skype. Thank you ever so much, Ken.
I think it's time we open up our eyes and our hearts. Let our light shine so bright, there's no left here in the dark.
Mm-hmm. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AR Outfitting.
I think it's time we open up our eyes and our hearts. Let a light shine so bright, there's no left here in the dark. You can't arrest an idea whose time has come.
Hi, everybody. You just were listening to Daz Nez's wonderful song, Word to the Wise. And certainly, if you listen to the whole song, you'll realize that a lot of wise words in there. Anyway, my guest is calling in. Her name is Heather Walker, and she and her family have been profoundly affected by this new law to strip parents of religious exemptions from vaccination to attend school. Welcome, Heather Walker.
Oh, thank you, Sally. Thank you for having me on today.
Well, I have learned more about vaccines from you than anyone because I was completely blind when I met you and you were just brimming with great information. So I thank you and also welcome you to share what has transpired in your family as a result.
Okay, well, we'll start real brief. I think you mentioned that New York State passed a law very suddenly. Within a few hours, it was passed by the New York State Assembly and Senate, and then signed by the governor. I think it was between a 6 and a 7 hour time span. It was very quickly, concerning the removal of children that have religious exemptions in New York State from schools.
Stop right there.
And
how many words did you get to impart at the hearing?
There were no hearings for people here in New York State. No one was able to voice their concerns in a public forum. The only way people could do this is speak to a legislator or their staff members in their offices.
Right. It's important that people realize that the public did not have a voice in this.
No, they did not. They did not. And this is such an important issue concerning education for our children. And to bypass that part of the process, to hear from the public, it's just abhorrent. It should never have happened. They absolutely should have given us our right to speak.
Well, tell about the process of what did transpire, because it is alarming, and then get into your personal, how it affects you personally.
Well, it was the bill was initially heard in the Senate, or the Assembly Health Committee, and initially it was a 13-13 vote, which would mean that in a 13-13 tie vote that the bill would not have moved forward and it would have failed at that point. However, at the last moment, the Speaker of the Assembly was sitting in the room as the vote took place. His name is Assemblyman Carl Heasty. He signaled to another individual, it was Nader Saj, and we don't know what was whispered in his ear, but he came back and changed his vote to a yes, stating that the bill passed the Assembly Health Committee and went on to, I believe, the Rules Committee, and then after that it went right to the Assembly floor, where it was passed. And then it was sent over to the Senate side, the Senate Health Committee, the same day. The Senate floor voted, and then it was to the governor's desk within, an hour or two, and the governor signed it. So it went very quickly without any process that happened with the public input. many people, this has devastated many people's lives. It has really had a profound effect on many people, especially the fact that we just were not heard. And I think that that's what the most concerning part of this whole entire situation happened. We just felt that we weren't heard. There was plenty of people down there, and people were calling their legislators, and people were very active here in New York on this issue. And unfortunately, they just bypassed a public hearing.
Well, I know that your son is really sad, and his biggest problem today is not that he has autism, but that he's really sad because he will not be seeing any of his friends again.
Yes, my son is very sad. I'll explain a little bit about what happened in our situation, and I think my situation, I speak it very similarly to thousands of people across New York State. I'm just one voice, and I can share our experience on what's happened in the past week. The school nurse called me on a Monday and said they received information from the Department of Health, the Department of Education, and the Office of Children and Family Services. And it was stating that children had to be caught up to all their vaccinations per their age limit within 14 days. And if you weren't caught up within 14 days with the first shot, that you would no longer be able to attend school. This happened on a Monday. On Friday was my son's last day of school. And I had spoken with the school nurse two or three times, as well as the administrators of my son's school, and explained, no, this, you know, we're not going to adhere with these vaccinations. We have a religious exemption, and our religious exemption stands in place. And my son, in his situation, he has attended the same school since he was 5 years old. This is his friends, and he attends a very small private school. His friends and his teachers and aides and therapists, everybody who has devoted so much time and effort and energy in his progress, we had to say goodbye to very abruptly. It was a very, very hard day. I was very, very upset and crying and hard to say goodbye in such a horrible circumstance of my son being removed from the school. The school did say that they would send me a letter within 14 days of that Monday. So 14 days would be technically this coming Monday or the 28th, which was Friday. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But it was all very unclear. But I know that they said that they would be sending a removal letter if I did not comply by then. And now, I haven't gotten the letter to date.
You are the sole support of your family.
What I am the sole support.
Right. So you have an elderly mother, and you have two children, and you are the sole support, and you work. What are you going to do in light of the fact that your child, who is not yet 18, can no longer attend school? What's going to happen to you?
That is a very good question. I don't know. I know if I am forced to homeschool, I will have to be home with my son to provide his education. I'm one of the lucky people that I am a therapist, and I'm only unfortunately in one aspect, which would concern to his IEP, which is an individualized educational plan. For those who don't know that are listening, special education students receive these in New York State as well as around the country, outlining their particular services and needs that would be provided by their educational laws in the state. And I don't know what's going to happen to us, Allie. I know I cannot work and guide my son's education. That means if I can't work, that means my mortgage doesn't get paid. So we are at a very difficult crossroad. I don't know if we'll wind up in a tent somewhere. I have no idea.
I want to take this opportunity, because you're talking about a mortgage. How difficult was it to try to find a place to rent with an autistic child?
You know, in my situation, I was very fortunate for many years. I had an extremely nice landlord for many years until he foreclosed on the house. And then we bounced in 1 year from house to house to house three times. It was very difficult. And at that time, I had applied for Habitat for Humanity to assist me in obtaining a home for me and my two kids. At that time, my daughter was underage. And thankfully, they accepted my application, and we helped, you know, all these amazing volunteers came in and helped on the house. And including myself, I learned an awful lot about home building and maintaining a home, and it was an amazing experience. But it was difficult finding a place. I finally went, before my house was done, and I was in limbo, and I went to Habitat, and I said, I have nowhere to go. I said, I can't stay here. You know, the neighbors are complaining because my son is making noises. It was very, very difficult for me, and a lot of people don't understand a person with autism. They may make noise or look odd, or, you know, their behaviors may look odd to them if they flap their hands or they run around or they twist in circles or make certain noises. It's very difficult, and people are annoyed by that. I mean, people are annoyed in the grocery store, let alone having to live above or below someone if it's a two-family home. So it is, you know, people that do have challenges with housing. I'm sure that it's not just me. I'm sure there's people out there that have also had challenges with housing their loved one or child with autism. It's
yeah,
not easy.
My mother had to move from an apartment to a house because my sister stimmed. She used to rock her crib from one end of the room to the other all night long. So needless to say, the neighbors were not thrilled with that, and they had to get out. But fortunately, they were able to. My mother used to sell my father his lunch every day so that they could save money. So they could get the house. But that's how they did it. But the neighbors were completely furious. Are you kidding?
Yeah, it's hard. It is a very difficult situation.
Well, so you have, your child used to get many different kinds of therapies during the day, music therapy, many things that he received at school that are just not available to him once he's at home.
No, and per my school district, and I haven't received anything in writing, but I was verbally told that therapies will not be rendered in the home because it is a health risk to the provider rendering the therapies. So they are not willing to come into the homes for therapy. Basically, they told me I had two options, vaccinate, get them caught up on the schedule, or homeschool. And that's kind of the situation myself and many, many others, thousands of people across the state are facing at this point in time. You know, mothers are distraught. I can tell you the past 2 weeks has just been an emotional roller coaster of emotions. Because as mothers, and I'm going to speak from the maternal aspect, I think most mothers have a very protective barrier. It's our job to protect our children. And right now, we can't protect our children and give them what's best because of the fact that the government now says we can. And
I want you to stop right there. And knowing that we have a time constraint, I want you to tell people about your child's journey into autism, because it's important that you say what that was.
My child was a typically developing child. We didn't have any developmental issues. He hit all developmental milestones. He walked, he talked, everything was on time. He didn't just speak in one language, he was learning to count in another language, his father's native language. He attended typical preschool for a little over a year and a half, and then he had a round of vaccinations, and he started to make a lot of different behaviors that were odd, that were different. He would blank out. There's nothing. A bomb could go off in front of him, and he was just staring in this frozen space, I will call it. And he lost all language. He was back in diapers. My son was 4 years old when he was diagnosed. He had his initial evaluations for education at 4 years old, a little after 4 years old, actually, and they put him at an 18-month-old developmental range. My son did not speak again from ages 4 to about almost 8 years old. He would try to get words out, and it would just sound like this. He was making these odd noises, and he could no longer speak. This was a child that was speaking. He loved his preschool. We didn't have any issues in the preschool. His regression was pretty profound. And this was my second child, my older child. There's a 7-year difference. So it wasn't like it was my first child and I just missed the boat, like some of these people were saying. And I said, well, if that's the case, then all of my son's medical records that I have are totally inaccurate from the pediatrician, because there's plenty of documentation. And thank God I saved a lot of his stuff from preschool. So that's my son's story. And
would
maybe
you
on
say
another show I can just say how we brought him back a little bit. Actually, a lot.
I would like very much to take a show to do that, because people, needless to say, when they have a child who has regressed, as your son did. And now, what about his moods? It's hard to, when kids can't communicate, you know, you don't know what's wrong. You were saying something about the Gardasil girls, that they were giving you a window into what your child had experienced but could not express.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. A lot of the moms that I spoke with, and a few of the girls throughout the years, I mean, I've been in this issue for, 14 years now, about that? Maybe 13. Anyway, yes, and what they were saying with the leg pain and the fogginess and not being able to sometimes communicate, the mind and speech were affected. In other words, apraxia, unable to get their thoughts out appropriately. It was very interesting talking to them because I'm like, wow, I said, this is almost like what my son says. You know, when he finally did get language back, for so many years, I didn't know what was going on, and that was really at his worst. Worst point in time is when my son could not give any information on how he felt or what was hurting him. And, you know, unfortunately, there are so many people and adults that are nonverbal, and it's so difficult for them to to communicate effectively and to recognize their feelings effectively and to show their emotions effectively. And that's the most difficult thing. I know with this whole situation, on the last day of school, she was actually a newer social worker. She hadn't worked with my son for more than a month. And she came up to me, and the tears were just running down my face. I said, I don't know how I'm going to do this. My son's going to regress. And she said, well, I made a sad-o-meter for your son. And it was on a piece of paper, and he identified the level of sad so that my son can point to that particular level on the piece of paper, because she laminated it, and it said, you know, this is my little sad feeling, and this is my, when I'm really, really sad, this is how I feel. And to have that come home with me, and my son's school was very supportive and gave me a lot of supports to send home, I just looked at this, and I said, you know, Mackie, where are you on the scale? And he pointed to the highest level. And I said, all I can say is that I hope that things change. I said, we just have to have faith in God. And hopefully God will lead it so that you can get back into your school.
Well,
he loved.
Yes, I know. So not only can he not go to school, but all of his social life and interaction and friends are there. So it's not just an issue of learning. It's an issue of, you know, loneliness.
Absolutely. And I have to say this, Sally. I've spoken to lots of people since this bill and this measure went through in New York State. And everybody is saying the same thing. They gave us no time. I realize Maine lost their exemptions. They have a year or so to figure the plan out. They gave us no time, literally. So it was almost like PTSD and shock from everything that was going on, and every single person I know. And these poor kids that can't go back to their friends and their education. I mean, what are we doing here? What is this government doing here? What is happening?
You know, in Oregon, they did not pass the bill to remove exemptions, because they surmised that they weren't sure that there even was a measles outbreak. So
yes,
not knowing who's lying, they basically allowed the parents to continue to exercise their First Amendment rights.
Absolutely. Absolutely. People should have their rights to exercise their First Amendment rights. Absolutely. I do want to touch on the CDC issue. I don't know if anybody was able to obtain the numbers from the CDC. I know that there were certain people that tried very hard, and they were basically saying, you know, put a FOIA in, and, you know, then you can see it. But FOIA sometimes take 30 days if they choose to answer you. So we don't really know. Like California, as you know, the whole Disneyland measles outbreak, they didn't release the data till 2-3 years later, after that happened. So here in New York, we couldn't even get the measure. And these legislators that passed this without even having any type of information on what's happening. Shame on all of them.
and having no studies that prove that there's any, you know, the buzzword is safe and effective, but from everything we know, they're the polar opposite.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The controversy of our day is this issue, because there's some of us that are never going to shut up about this, ever.
Well, but you know, Sally, go ahead.
If I can just touch on one thing before we close out, I want to stress to people, and I know we focused a lot here in New York State on our state legislators, we really have to start focusing on the local level as well. We really have to start getting to know who our mayor is, who our council people are, who our representatives are, what they're standing for and what they're not. Because all politics starts local. The locals then endorse the state level.
I have to say something in regard to local, because it affects autistic children. If you are being sprayed for West Nile or Zika, during the summer, they say they're doing this to kill bugs that may be carrying West Nile or Zika. Autistic children are being rushed to emergency rooms after they spray them. So I want you to be aware of that. I want you to check your local spray schedules. I want you to either get out of town if you can. If you can't, please seal your windows and your air conditioning units, because you have to. I know people who, an autistic child who had a seizure after they did that, never had seizures before, and the next year when they spread seizures and wound up in the hospital both times. The third year they sealed their windows and doors and air conditioning units, and it did not happen. So I'm just saying, again, no hearings. I remember calling my local legislator and saying, I'm sorry, did I miss the hearings on this? There were no hearings, was what I was told.
No hearings again.
Mm-hmm. So please get
did
check
anybody
your
talk to, did check anyone speak to the city council, Sally, about this? Did they go in front of the city council? That's who I was calling,
the city council. I was calling my representative of the city council, saying, I'm sorry, did I miss the hearings? When were they? And I was told with disdain, there were no hearings.
Hmm.
So I'm just saying, we're not the only ones getting sprayed. Everybody look alive across the country. Investigate this. Look up your schedules. If you can stop it, stop it. If you can't stop it, protect your children and warn your neighbors.
Yes, absolutely.
So anyway, I apologize, but it is the summer and this is when they're doing it. My guest was Heather Walker. My name is Sally L. Cordy. Any artwork that you see associated with this program is by Joe Jones. Daznez is the songwriter. And I want to thank Ingrid Castle again for introducing me to this network and suggesting I host a show. I truly appreciate it. Thank you, Ken, my producer.
Coming, you best start running. I hear we're coming after you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.